scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, in left corner to Aguila. Aguila in the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Okay, let's get things going. It is Wednesday, September 11th, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. Let's get it going with Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Hello, Wes.
Hey, buddy. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Well, I got to tell you, I feel like I've done a stretch of these in a row. You do this every day, hey?
Every day, yeah.
Woo!
You have done a stretch of this in a row. I believe you're on your eighth straight day of
doing Flames Talk. No wonder you like your sleep-ins.
I do.
Yeah.
I like a good sleep-in once in a while here. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for being along with us. Shan and Cam are producers this hour. Young Stars Classic is almost upon us. That'll be the first on-ice action we see for the Calgary Flames, or from the Calgary Flames, for the 24-25 season. Young Stars Classic begins on Friday. Flames Talk will be with you from Penticton starting on Thursday. So Flames Talk content Thursday, Friday, all through the weekend into Monday. The Flames play three games Friday night, which I think ends up being a very early evening game here in Calgary. 5 o'clock time, then 8:30 Saturday night, and then 3 p.m. on Monday afternoon. They play the Jets, Oilers, and Canucks prospects, respectively, those 3 days. Young Stars Classic at the South Okanagan Event Center in Penticton, B.C. So plenty of content from there. We'll be in Penticton starting on Thursday. Rosters released on this Wednesday.
Are you pumped? It's a fun one, isn't it?
This will probably be like the 10th time,
yeah,
9th time I've been out there for the event, and it's always a good time. It's always it's great from a hockey perspective. It's great from the reason why I think it's important to go selfishly is it's just so good. You've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Like for everything that you do in our line of work, whether you're hosting a show or writing, like the access and the content is second to none. It really is an awesome event.
Totally agree.
The hockey's awesome too. I was telling somebody this a little earlier on this Wednesday. You go watch a game at the Young Stars, and you know, usually a preseason game doesn't involve fighting. Usually, you know, you get a lot of no hitters, and the vets are. And this is not a criticism, but if you're a guy with 500 NHL games under your belt, you know what you need to do in the preseason. You're not necessarily, if you're an established NHLer, you're not really being judged on your preseason performances. They are there more than anything else, as much as they'll tell us how important it is to win. And they tell us that every year, but I think we know that the preseason is there. The main reason these guys play 3, 4, 5 games in a preseason is to get their bodies to where they need to be, to get their pace to where it needs to be, so that when games actually do matter, and when they do care about the results for game one of the regular season, that they're ready to go. So that's why the Young Stars is always a lot of fun, because these guys, they're not established NHLers. There is nothing guaranteed in terms of where they're going to be playing and if they have a pro contract. A lot of guys are playing for contracts and playing for spots on teams going forward. So looking forward to the event, and I'm, from a Flames perspective, really looking forward to seeing this on-ice product, because this roster, you and I were talking about this a little earlier on Wednesday, like this roster is more intriguing at this Young Stars Classic than it has been in a long time.
Yeah.
Here's the rundown. So first of all the games live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. 25 players total. They've got 3 goalies, 8 defensemen, 14 forwards. Of the 25, 15 of them drafted by the Flames, including 8 of the 10 players from this most recent draft in 2024. One college player and one player still in Russia. Those are the two that are not there. But 8 of the 10, which means more than half of the 15 drafted players, were taken in 2024. Like, from an intrigue standpoint, not a result standpoint, not comparing them to the other three teams, but just from an intrigue standpoint in this city for Flames fans, this is the most stacked roster I can remember going to this event. At least since Johnny, RIP, at least when we're talking about Monahan, Tkachuk, Bennett. That vintage was the last time I could remember being this intrigued and or excited about a Young Stars roster like I am this one.
Yeah, and I want to get to this point in a second, but just to reminisce, what was so fun about those Monahan, Tkachuk, Bennett, as you mentioned, Johnny Gaudreau years, especially covering the Young Stars, and that was the vintage that I spent more time in Penticton covering those tournaments. What was fun is that the Edmonton Oilers and Vancouver Canucks, remember, were scuffling at the same time. Like, I remember the Tkachuk year, there must have been three of the top six picks in the draft there, right? Joleve would have gone
for Vancouver.
For Vancouver, Puljujärvi would have gone
for Edmonton, Line A
would have, so it would have been four of the top six. Anyway, so those were fun years because you got to see so many highly touted prospects, but I'll just echo your point, and I won't totally be echoing it because you stole it from me earlier, but you're absolutely right. Like, the intrigue level on...
I didn't steal it from you. You stole it from me. You're just copying me now.
If you look at the position groups even, like, you look at defense, and obviously Hunter Brustevich, who comes over in the Lindholm trade, who leads the OHL in assists last season... You're totally intrigued by him. Obviously, Zane Parekh, who arrives with the Flames top pick in the most recent draft, like that's a guy that you're intrigued by. But you go down the list, like, I'm really curious about Etienne Morin as he starts his pro career. I'm really curious about Henry Muse, who's another undersized puck mover. I'm really curious about Joni Jurmo, who's a monster but doesn't skate like it. Like, skates so well. For a big man, I never thought I was intrigued by Axel Hertig. And then on the final day of development camp, he kind of put on a show. Like, this was a guy who was supposed to be just a stay-at-home defenseman, and yet he goes out and plays a really offensive game at development camp. And so there, you got local kid Eric Jameson. I just named basically every defenseman. It used to be in years past, as you and I were talking about earlier, there'd be a bunch of roster filler and invitees and maybe, guys who'd been drafted in the late rounds a few years prior, and you kind of knew they probably weren't panning out as NHL prospects. But, from top to bottom, there are just so many names on that roster today that I'm like, yeah, interested in that guy. Whew, yeah.
And for different reasons,
yeah,
right?
For
like,
sure.
So some guys you're interested, like, oh, could this guy make the roster, as you said? Or in others, it's like, okay, I don't know what this guy's all about. I'm just curious as to what he'll look like on the ice. What type of player do they have? I mean, I'll give you an example of a recent one with a less stacked group of players. But, I came away, one of the guys 2 years ago that I was most interested in seeing was Klapka, because I'm like, this dude is an absolute monster. Because you look at when they signed him in the spring of 2022, and you tweet out the numbers, you're like, he's 6'9" or whatever he is.
Right.
X amount. People are like, he's how big?
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, so how does this actually translate? And he played all three games at the 2022 Young Stars, and he was a real standout because not only was he big and was able to physically push around anybody who was there, but also was an impact maker. Skates
sure.
Big for a good man and was involved offensively, has good skill. Anyway, I point that out because I didn't think that he was not a guy that I thought was going to make the NHL roster, but
right.
I still was really interested to see what the hell the guy was all about.
Well, and two guys who fit that sort of similar description in different ways, for me at least, going into this year's event, are Valtteri Ignaciu, the goaltender, similar to Klapka, a sort of unknown, signed out of the European pro leagues, obviously a different assessment for a goalie. And as a, I want to say, 24-year-old netminder, you'd expect him to be fairly dominant on a stage like this, although behind what's always a pretty kind of scrambly team because they haven't had much time to work on systems or what have you. And then, you know, I mentioned Joni Jurmo earlier, a guy who I think is listed at 6'6", who skates really well, whose biggest question mark anyone you talk to is whether his pace of thinking the game can catch up or you know, keep up to the rest of his skill set. And that's another guy who hasn't played a lot of hockey, if any, in North America. Did he get in any games with the Wranglers when he came over at the end of last season?
Did he get in? I don't know. He might have gotten into one.
He was hanging around for a while. Might have played one, may not have, but that
did not. No.
Yeah. Okay. So that's another guy who, you know, similar to Klapka, in Jurmo's case, arrived in the Lindholm trade. The Flames have been telling us this was not a throw in that trade. Yep. This is a guy we're intrigued by. This is a guy we're excited about. And so another guy we haven't seen in North America that will be keeping close eyes on in Penticton.
Curious on the text line at 960-960, you take a look at that Young Stars roster. Who intrigues you the most? And, you know, if it's an obvious one like Brestevich or Parekh, absolutely. If it's somebody else, would be curious. We'll hit your text a little bit later on at 960-960. You know, I think if you go through it position by position, and you mentioned Ignatiu in net, I know how excited Jordan Sigalet is about this player. I know how long the Flames had their eyes on this player. Like, they had Valtteri Ignatiu on their radar for almost all of last season. They were watching this guy. They were talking to this guy. They were trying to kind of get the jump on either other teams. And, you know, by getting in early and showing the first interest of NHL teams, as other NHL teams caught on to this guy playing in over in Sweden and putting up really good numbers in that second league, other teams started to catch
goalie
on.
Goalie of the year in that
league. He was goalie
league,
of the year in Sweden's second tier league. And other teams started to catch on, but because Sigalet and the Flames were in there first, they kind of had a little bit of a leg up, and that was the preferred spot for him to go. So that they've got a or they believe quite highly in this guy and think there's some real potential. So he's going to get at least one full game. You can put that in pen. Probably gets closer to two when it's all said and done. They've got three goalies. Radomski and Murphy were in the organization last year, but if each guy gets 1.5, you could easily see some sort of split like that. And they want to get Ignatiu acclimated to North American hockey as quickly as possible because he's going to be playing AHL or ECHL full time, and they hope American League full time. So he's in net, with no disrespect to Radomski and Murphy, who've been in the organization for a season now. I'm by far most intrigued by the newest member of this goaltending group.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know he's spent some time in Calgary throughout the summer. I know, you know, there's all sorts of rules about who you can't skate with, but goalies specifically can. I don't want to mess it up, but they can skate with somebody from the sort of development staff. I know that Ignatiu's been around getting some reps in that way. I'd expect, like, he's number four on the depth chart. He's the next guy up beyond Vladar and Wolf and Cooley, which we talk about often. And, you know, that means that on that split squad night, he's probably going to play part of a NHL preseason game. And so they'll definitely want to make sure that he's up to speed, that he has some confidence. He's going to be facing NHL shooters, obviously, in camp. Like you said, they're excited about him. Remains, I think, a little bit of an unknown even for them. But hey, there's a long line of really good NHL goalies that have been plucked out of these European leagues.
Yep.
And then there's an even longer list of guys that a team took a shot on and didn't quite pan out. I'm curious to see which list he winds up on.
On defense, the eight D-men are Artem Grushnikov. He came over in the Chris Tanev trade. Hunter Brestevich, of course, came over in the Elias Lindholm trade. Erik Jamieson, Henry Muse, Etienne Morin, Alex Herdig, Zane Parekh, all draft picks in the last couple of drafts. And then also, as you mentioned, Yoni Yermo, who also came over in the Lindholm trade. So three players acquired, five drafted defensemen will be there. And I mean, you can run down the list. You already mentioned Yermo is a guy you're intrigued by. What is he? You've got, obviously, the highest draft pick of the bunch in Zane Parekh, and so much excitement about what he's going to be all about and what he can do in his first training camp. Morin, there's been a lot of excitement about going back to his draft year. Brustevich's numbers, Muse's numbers, Grushnikov coming over in a Tanev trade and them being really excited about him. Like, that blue line group, like, there's a lot to keep an eye on. And I'll say this, for a power play at this event, the power play is always the hardest thing to watch. Like, they're usually just really poor power plays because they don't have a lot of time to work systems and stuff like that.
Sure.
They're really easy power plays to kill most of the time. But you've got four D-men in Brustevich, Muse, Morin, and Parekh. They're like, oh, they should definitely definitely have some power off the edge, off the end there.
Yeah, Etienne Morin to me is a guy that I'm maybe most excited to see, and obviously Zane Parekh and Brustevich, those are the most exciting defense prospects that the Flames have had in a long, long time. Between the two of them, and I'd say, you know, Parekh especially, those are the most exciting blue line prospects that this organization has had in recent memory. But Moran's a guy who, because of the talent on defense, whether it's Parekh or Brustevich or even Jeremy Poirier going back and being an AHL all-rookie teamer a couple years ago before his injury issues last winter, like, Moran's a guy that there was so much excitement internally about, and then just struggled. Like, struggled last season. The numbers didn't look great. He'll tell you that his performance was not up to what he thought it could be, but he gets the entry-level contract, remember, at development camp. Signed it at the same time that Parekh and Gridden signed. Yeah. He gets invited to Hockey Canada's camp for the showcase event this summer, which I think is a major confidence booster for a guy who was probably questioning whether he'd maybe been lapped by the field in some ways. And I think he's, of the guys we talk about, in my conversations with people, like, he's probably the most well-rounded. He's not the best offensively of the bunch. You know, that would be Parekh and Brustevich not far behind him. But Morin might have a pro-ready game in the sense that he can defend fairly well as well. I think his learning curve might be a little less than the other guys. I don't expect him to have the same star potential that Parekh and Brustevich have, but I think this is a guy who could be a really solid player for a long time. That being said, trying to figure out what happened last season in Moncton when he was supposed to be one of the guys, and so for that reason, he's one that I'll especially kind of have a keen eye on.
And then at forward, it's Sam Hontek, Sam Morton, Andrew Basha, Matvei Gridin, Hunter Lang, Jacob Battaglia, Trevor Janicki, William Stromgren, Jaden Lipinski, Lucas Siona, Luke Misa, David Cillier, Parker Bell, and Luke McNamara. A lot of drafted players in there for the Flames. A lot of guys that they have developed. Morton, not a drafted player, but might as well be because they signed him out of college.
Right.
You know,
even same with David Cillier.
Cillier as well, yeah.
Just signed an AHL deal with the Wranglers, but straight out of the college ranks last spring as well.
Basha, because so many people were hoping the Flames were going to take him with their second first-round pick. I remember when the Flames went Gridden, and Twitter blew up, like, why didn't they take Basha? Like, here's a Calgary kid playing for the Medicine Hat Tigers, like, they should have taken him. Well, they took him early in day two and hit that with a second-round pick. So, you know, the numbers he put up last year, the local product, all that type of stuff, I'm really interested in him. Hanzek, very similar stuff that you could say about Hanzek, as you just said about Morin. Like, they had very similar draft plus 1 years, right? Like, they both entered their major junior seasons with huge expectations. And Hanzek, a lot of injuries last year, a lot of things that he dealt with. But again, much like Morin, did not have that kind of season that you would be hoping for in their first year with the organization. So I think Hanzek is a really interesting name to watch.
For sure.
And maybe the guy that I'm most intrigued by of all of them is Stromgren. Just because when I saw him on Saturday when we were out at Woodridge Ford and he sat down with us, first of all, he has put on a ton of bulk. Like
yeah.
He is bigger than he's ever been. Like you can tell that he's been hitting it in the gym and really working on that. And also, we talked to Trent Cole all year long, the head coach of the Wranglers, about his development. And that second half of last season, Stromgren turned into one of the more offensively reliable guys. He turned into one of their top offensive options. He was really important for them in the playoffs, had that massive highlight reel goal in the postseason. Like, Stromgren seemed to really click and figure things out in the second half of his first AHL year. Like, I'm really interested to see. It's one of the, in terms of how long he's been with the organization, one of the longer tenured guys on the roster. Like, what's he going to be all about? Can he be a guy that really stands out in an event like this?
I left development camp, and I understand those summer scrimmages and summer sessions should always be taken with a grain of salt, but I left development camp convinced that William Stromgren was going to play games in the NHL as early as this season. He was not just the best player on the ice at a fairly deep development camp. He was the best player on the ice by far. And I know his development path has been really interesting in that the Flames have been trying to find a place where he's going to get the right opportunity. Like he wasn't playing as much as they hoped he would be when he was in Sweden. Remember, he went to the World Juniors a couple seasons ago, and like he was getting two or three shifts a game for Sweden. He was, I know the Flames were really, I think, discouraged for him because they wanted that to be a really positive experience, and he barely touched the ice. And it was like as the Wranglers came to rely on him a little bit more and more last year, as he settled into not just hockey, but life in North America, he really blossomed. Like he took such a significant step in the second half of his first pro season. And listen, like it's not quite the same because one did it in the end of the season at the NHL level, but we sit and talk about the excitement about Matt Coronato based on how comfortable he looked at the end of the season. Again, I'm not talking apples to apples because Stromgren was still in the AHL, but this is a guy who took a major, major step last season, and I am excited to see how he can carry that forward. You mentioned Basha too. He's going to be fun to watch. I was in the Garrison pub owned by his father, of course, a few weeks ago. The Flames preseason schedule was already tacked up by the urinal, so people are excited. You know, this is a kid, and I think about our conversation with Jake Bean yesterday about playing at home and when you're ready for it. I think Andrew Basha is a kid who's just going to sort of bask in that limelight right from the start. He's going to need some time. He'll be going back to Medicine Hat, but he sounds like a future fan favorite. Yeah. And I'm excited to see some of those spark plug tendencies in Penticton, which is where that sort of stuff really sticks out in a lot of cases, but there's also a ton of offense in that package. Yep. And so he'll be fun to watch.
Shout out Garrison Pub. Couple of texts.
You got to have the Monte Cristo.
Okay. See? Expert advice from Wes Gilbertson. 960-960 on the text line. Jimmy in Douglasdale says, Matvei Greden by far intrigues me the most. I think there might be something special with this player in the future. Excited for his development. We still don't know exactly where Gridden's going to be playing in the queue. Like I believe the Flames are still hoping there might be another place that he ends up going.
Okay.
So I think anyway, last time I checked.
Is he still with Valdor?
I believe so,
okay, yeah.
But apparently there's like, wasn't there talk of a trade?
I mean, there was sort of right from 20 minutes after he was picked in the CHL import draft. I want to say he was rumored to be on his way to Shawinigan.
Yeah.
And that's why I ask if he was still with Valdor. I don't know. I don't believe he went to a camp anywhere. Could be wrong on that, though.
Yeah. And then this reads, you guys didn't mention Grushnikov because there's so many other guys for sure, but I'm excited for Artem as well. And hey, you know, that's a guy that they, when they made the Tanev trade, instead of pushing hard for a first round pick, they were okay with taking a second because of what they thought of Grushnikov, which makes me really intrigued to see him at this event and going into this season period.
Yeah, he's a guy who struggled with some injuries after he joined the Wranglers midway. It wasn't even midway. It was toward the tail end of the season. And so I haven't laid eyes on him very much. And certainly when I omitted him from the list of D, it was just because I was rattling on about some other guys. But he is sort of at the top of another depth chart, if that's the right way to describe it, in that he might be their top stay-at-home defensive prospect, yeah. Right? Him and Kuznetsov and Solovyov are all guys who hope to make their living as penalty killers and shot blockers and third-pairing, like, hard-to-play-against type guys. And it's going to be – this is a hard tournament to maybe – show off your skill in that regard, but you can look at all eight of those defensemen. There's really good reason to be intrigued by all of them.
Yep. Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg along with you. This hour of Flames Talk underway. We're coming at you this hour from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This hour rolls on a Wednesday with Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. We got the official announcement on Tuesday of a new member of the Calgary Flames. Let's say hello right now after signing a one-year contract with the Flames. Defenseman Jared Tinordi joins the program on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Jared, really appreciate the time. It's Pat and Wes. How are we doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well. And great to talk with you. And you know, I'm curious as to, you've known for a little bit that this is probably where the destination is going to be for you this season. So how's it feel to know everything's settled? You know where you're playing this year. How's it feel with training camp right around the corner?
I'm excited. I mean, I know it took a little while. You know, training camp is next week, so I'm ready to get rolling. I'm excited to get up into Calgary and, you know, meet the guys, meet the team, and get going here.
So where are you right now?
I'm still in Chicago. I'm planning on heading out there this weekend, so I should be start of the week. I'll be ready to go.
Okay. Tell us about the process. Tell us about how this came to be and how it ended up being the Flames that you signed with.
Yeah, I think kind of earlier on in July, kind of, you know, I go through and kind of look at some of the possible destinations, and Calgary was high on my list. I thought there was some good opportunity for me there. I think I kind of bring an element that this team needed. And so that was kind of in the back of my head, you know, as we went on through July and August, I still kind of had Calgary kicking around in my head, and I'm really fortunate that we were able to get something done.
Expand on that opportunity if you can. Like, what about the opportunity in Calgary attracted you so much?
I think I just bring an element that maybe you know, that they, something that the team doesn't have a lot in their system in the pipeline right now. I think you know, my game might complement this team well. I think there's a lot of work you know, that I got to do, that I have to show at training camp in order to earn that roster spot. But you know, I mean, as a player, that's all you can really ask for, is for your, you know, your style, your game to kind of mesh well and maybe bring something a little bit different that, you know, their team doesn't already have.
When you're looking at potential places to play, you know, how involved are you in doing the research and seeing the personnel on either teams? Like, are you actively working with your agent and saying, hey, you know, this team, you know, there might be a spot or two that could be open on the NHL roster? How active are you in that part of the process?
I mean, you take a look, but I think at the end of the day, you know, I kind of want to be a little bit more hands off and kind of see who calls me, you know, see what's out there. You kind of know from playing against teams, you know, like what teams' rosters look like. You're following who's signing in the summertime, and you're trying to find something that works for both the team and the player, right? And I think that, you know, I just honestly thought Calgary was a great fit. You know, I like kind of what's going on. I like the personnel that they already have. It's a good mix of veteran players and younger players as well.
We're chatting with Jared Tinordi, who signed a one-year contract with the Calgary Flames on Tuesday. He'll be in training camp and working with this blue line starting next week when training camp begins. It's Flames Talk with Pat and Wes on a Wednesday. Wes?
Jared, you've worn a few different jerseys at the NHL level, most recently in Chicago with the Blackhawks. I'm wondering, you know, as you get ready to come to Calgary to meet all the guys, is there a quote-unquote secret to integrating yourself with a new group to getting to know a bunch of new guys?
I don't know if there's a secret. I mean, it's something, I guess, you know, like you said, I have been on quite a few different teams. I mean, I think just being yourself is the quickest way to get into that locker room and to meet the guys and everything like that. I think sometimes if you go in maybe a little bit reserved, if you're in a room that's kind of been together for a bit, I think it might take you a little bit of time to kind of get settled and get accustomed to everything. So I think, you know, just going in, being yourself, I think is the best way to go about it.
You and I chatted for a few minutes yesterday, and one of the things we discussed was, you know, your reputation, which Craig Conroy mentioned to media here yesterday, as a guy who's been a captain, who's been a leader. And you said, hey, I know there's some young defensemen on the way there. I want to help, you know, be a role model for those guys. What goes into that part of it?
You know what, honestly, I think it's just your habits around the rink. I think I had some great players that I looked up to, you know, when I was young coming into the league, starting my journey. So I think it's the biggest thing is your habits, how you approach every day. You know, as a young player, I went through it too. As a young player, you know, training camp happens, you make the team and you get, you know, excited and there's that initial buzz, but then you kind of get into the, you know, the harder parts of the year, like December, January, February, where kind of things are grinding a little bit more. The schedule's hard. I think it's the little details and the habits that kind of carry you through, you know, that portion of the season where kind of it's easy to not, you're not taking your foot off the gas, but things get a little bit tougher when you're playing a lot of games.
You broke in initially and were a first round pick of the Montreal Canadiens. Were there any specific older guys you tried to emulate? Was there one or two guys in that room that you really kept eyes on?
Yeah, I really loved watching Andre Markov when I was fortunate to be able to play with him for a little bit. And, you know, this the way he didn't speak a whole lot. He was pretty quiet, but the way he carried himself around the rink, around the room, the way he approached, you know, every game, I think he was a guy that kind of kept my eye on a lot. And he had a phenomenal career too. So I think that goes to show how hard he worked and how dedicated he was.
Flames defenseman Jared Tinordi is with us, newly signed this week. Jared, it's funny you talk about playing in Montreal, and you know, during that era, there's Andre Markov, who was one of the real kingpins in that market. And you played in Chicago, you've played in Montreal, you've played in Boston. Now you're coming to another Calgary market. Like you tend to play in pretty hotbed hockey markets, hey?
Yeah, I love it. And it's funny because I grew up in Maryland, so you wouldn't say that's really a hotbed market, but I've been fortunate in my career to play on some great teams with a lot of rich history. And I think the Flames are another one of those cities. I'm excited to get to Calgary. Obviously, I've played there a bunch. The passion that the city has for hockey is second to none.
I wanted to ask you about where you are at this stage in your career. You're coming off a 52-game season last year in Chicago, which is the most you've played in the NHL to date. And the last two seasons, you've been full-time with Chicago. I guess, can you just give us a little bit of a Reader's Digest on your career path? Drafted back in 2010 by Montreal, and now here you are. It feels like, you know, maybe at the age of 30, 31, 32, feels like maybe on the outside you really established yourself now. But I'm curious as to how you would describe your career path and some of the different twists and turns you've taken to get to this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's been up and down for sure. I think I've learned a lot in my career so far, and I've learned some hard lessons. I've had, you know, high highs and low lows. And I think that as I've gotten older and I've been fortunate, you know, to keep getting chances, and that's the biggest thing. I mean, you never know when your last chance is going to be, right? So I think I've been trying to really hone in on that and respect it and kind of, I guess, roll with that. And, you know, I'm 32. Like you said, you don't know if you're going to get another chance. So I think the maturity has kind of helped me along, you know, learning from some past mistakes and things I could have handled better, things I could have done different, sure. But, you know, not dwell on them too much, but just kind of learn from that and turn the page.
Feel like even in terms of, you know, your comfort level, your confidence level, like, how much more confident in yourself are you now, or how much more established in what you are do you feel at this stage of your career, even as opposed to, say, like 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, I think it comes down to just realizing what you do well, what you bring to the table, and sticking to that, you know, every night, you know, as best you can. You're not going to have your A game every night. You might have your B game. You got to be okay with your B game sometimes and move on. And, you know, you don't want that big drop off, right? And I think that comes from confidence and experience. Like you said, I think the last 2 years of the most I played in the NHL over, you know, the last maybe 5 or 6 years, really. So I think you get confidence from that. And then you just want to build on that every day. You want to keep the things you're doing well. You want to keep doing those things really well every night.
Probably gives you a little bit of a sense of perspective too, hey? Like, you know, you've at times had to go back and forth, and you've played time in the American League to be full-time in the NHL. Do you feel like the last couple of seasons, maybe you've appreciated that a little bit more?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it makes you realize that you can never really take anything for granted. I think every day you're in the NHL is a great day. So I know how quickly it can turn, and you can be back down and you're riding the bus and you're grinding a little bit more. It definitely makes you appreciate, you know, when you're up with a big club in the NHL, that's really the best it gets, right? And you got to make the most of that.
We're chatting with Jared Tinordi, signing with the Calgary Flames this week. Just a couple more here on Flames Talk, Wes.
Jared, I know your dad, Mark, played, I think, almost 700 games in the NHL, but correct me if I'm wrong on this. Does he have some roots here in Alberta? Didn't he play junior hockey here?
Yeah, so he's actually from Red Deer, and my mom is from Lethbridge.
Oh, wow.
So I'm dual citizen. Yeah, I grew up in Maryland, but we're going to be close to home for them, so that's really nice to play in front of some family. I got some family close by in Red Deer, so I'm looking forward to that.
That's pretty cool. What was their excitement level when you mentioned you were going to sign in Calgary?
Yeah, they were pumped. I mean, you know, my grandma, she might have only gone to a couple handful of games when I go out to Calgary to play. And so to be able to be, you know, close at home and spend a little bit more time with her too is awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Jared, really appreciate the time today. Hey, congratulations on the contract. Travel safe up to Calgary. We'll see you here next week for training camp, but really appreciate the time today. Hey.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Yes, no problem. Thanks for doing it. That's Jared Tinordi, now of the Calgary Flames. We talked a little bit about it on Tuesday's show, but another one of those contracts, a guy that is well-respected, a guy that is good in the room, a guy that's going to be able to add a little competition on kind of the depth parts of the blue line. And you know, a guy that I think comes in eyes wide open, much like he talked about near the end there. Like, he's never, until the last two seasons, been a full-time NHL guy. He's spent a lot of years where it's been AHL, NHL, and last two seasons in Chicago, he's been able to forge a little bit of a role, third-pairing guy. And so I think he comes to camp with, you know, eyes wide open, knows he's got a fight, knows that nothing is taken for granted, doesn't want to be with the Wranglers, but, you know, understands that there's going to be a fight there. I think those are the types of guys you want in the organization. And if it ends up going in the direction that he starts with a team in the American League, well, you know, you've got a real character quality guy that's going to help your young players and your young blue liners down there too.
Yeah. And I touched on this yesterday when we chatted about the addition of Jared Tinordi. I think the fact that his career hasn't been all, you know, sunshine and rainbows, I think that allows him to really be a valuable mentor to some of these young guys. He was a first round pick, but it wasn't one of those, hey, straight into the NHL lineup and you're never coming out. You know, he's had to scrap for every inch. You know, in his 30s now, he's played 205 games. He's been in the minors. He's been on waivers. He's been through kind of all of it. And Craig Conroy, his general manager, he talks often about being able to relate to the guys because he's been healthy scratched and he's been waived and he's been a top liner. Like he feels like he can really relate to all the players because of his range of experiences. And I think there's some similarities there with Jared Tenorti as a guy who's worn a letter several places and can say to Zane Parekh or Hunter Brustevich or Jeremy Poirier, whether that's in training camp, whether that's with the Wranglers, whatever that looks like, I think he can be a valuable mentor. And the other part that sticks out to me, and you know, I know a lot of people are looking saying, okay, well, where's he fit? I don't think it's a coincidence that this is a guy who's done a lot of penalty killing, especially in the past couple of seasons, who's had some impact in shorthanded situations. That's something that I'm not sure the Flames want to ride the same two guys in every situation. Yeah. And the fact that he can maybe help out on the penalty kill, it might give him the inside track and getting in the lineup more often than we think.
Yep. Thanks to Jared Tenorti. Thanks to the Flames for helping us track that down. Jared joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. The best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call them at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. And one of the things that you can tell is very very deliberate. That's the word I'm looking for. By Craig Conroy and this hockey ops staff is the types of guys they're bringing into the organization. We talked a little bit about this on Tuesday as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guys that they have added, the guys that they have signed to contracts, or in Tyson Berry's case to a PTO, these guys are coming in because not only is there a potential on-ice role that makes sense, but also because they feel like they can be a part of the want to be here type of culture that they're trying to build. They're very deliberately trying to move on from the last few years where numerous players, not because they don't like it here, not because, you know, not because the fans aren't great, not because they don't like the city, but just because a number of different reasons have decided to move on from Calgary. Well, they're trying to move past that, put that behind them, and they're very deliberately trying to have guys that are excited to be a part of this group. And Barry, Tenorti, Lomberg, Cooley, these guys all, the Jake Bean, who we talked to on Tuesday, these guys all count in that. And it plays very nicely into this clip I'm going to play. So on Tuesday, we had an opportunity after the Calgary Flames Charity Golf Classic, which raised $365,000 on Tuesday for the Flames Foundation, another extremely successful Flames Charity Golf Classic. Between that and the poker tournament every year, the amount of money raised is astronomical. And again, $365,000. Congratulations to Candace and Amanda and everybody involved. And I'm sorry if I didn't name drop everybody, but everybody involved in the Flames Foundation, everybody involved in the planning of that. And as you know, like, I don't know, of all the golf tournaments that are put on in this city every year, I don't know if there is one that is a larger undertaking than the Flames Charity Classic. What, two clubs, three courses. Every second hole, there's a food sponsor or a KP or a longest drive or a drink sponsor or something. The prizes, everything, the post event, like the amount of work that goes into it. Kudos to everybody. But we had an opportunity at the Dome to talk with a number of players. Jake Bean joined us. Connor Zeri joined us. Dan Vladar joined us. And Blake Coleman joined us, and we posted this clip on social media, or this quote on social media, on Tuesday night. Had a lot of Flames fans excited. We were just talking about the coming season with Blake. He's a part of this leadership group. He's a multiple Stanley Cup winner. Like, this guy is one of the full-on adults in that room. And that's not to say there aren't others, but like, this guy is just you know exactly what you're going to get.
Sits at the grown-up table.
He really does. And we asked him about building a culture and being a part of being on the ground floor of something new, and this quote definitely took off.
I've been very clear that I enjoy being a Flame and I want to be part of the solution. And the good news is we have the guys that we have in the room right now are all guys that want to be part of the solution and want to be here and want to make this franchise better. And then we got the young kids that are hungry and ready to make a difference. So I think that combination could be really, really dangerous.
So you hear that from Blake Coleman. He's I want to be here. Mm-hmm. I want to be a part of the solution. The vets on this team want to be here, want to be a part of the solution. And Blake Coleman is such an easy guy to rally behind. As you talked about on Tuesday when he was sitting with us, I mean, the Dome, that was one of the louder responses all year when he had 30 goals late last season.
Sure like,
this
was,
is a guy
yeah.
that people really appreciate. They appreciate that he's made Calgary home, chose Calgary, so on and so forth. And then you hear that from him, a two-time Stanley Cup winner, talking about, I want to be here. I've told Connie this is where I want to be. I want to be a part of the solution. That's the type of culture the Flames are trying to build here.
Yeah, absolutely. And you sort of got the sense Blake wanted to be out in front of that, didn't you? Like that
yeah.
wasn't a
yeah.
you, that wasn't you or myself asking, hey, Blake, you interested in sticking around through this transition period for the organization? That was him. No doubt aware of the speculation that was surrounding some of the established pieces, no doubt aware of the rumors that come with the territory for a team that has, sold off a lot of veteran parts in the past year, especially like that. That was Blake Coleman to me wanting to make sure that there was no doubt in anyone's mind, whether you asked him the question or not, he was going to make yeah. a statement that, I want to be a part of this. And I just think a week out from training camp, the value of having not only a guy who is a fan favorite, not only a guy who, as you said, has quite a resume, I don't know that there is a guy inside the Flames locker room, aside from maybe Captain Michael Backlund, who is as well respected as Blake Coleman. And not just respected, but he's really revered by teammates because of the way he goes out of his way to help the young guys. He's really like that. That is a very, very popular teammate in a room that includes a lot of guys that you would describe as such. And so I think the value of him coming out and saying, hey, I know there's speculation out there. I want to be a part of the solution here. I think there's a lot of value there.
Yeah, I really do, too. And I think it is things like that, whether it is hearing that from Mackenzie Weegar, hearing that from Nazem Kadri, hearing that from Blake Coleman. Like when you hear that from guys like that who are still remaining veterans on this team, like that is really that is something that absolutely I think makes an impact with fans, makes an impact with young players in the organization. Like If you're the Flames, you want more of that going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to hear a few more guys talk like that. And I believe you will as training camp starts. That buy-in is important. And, you know, the other comment Blake Coleman made yesterday that really struck me, and he made it a couple of times, was just, hey, I've been on teams that weren't expected to do very much. And, you know, those can be the really fun seasons. You know, if you get a group that overachieves, you know, that can really galvanize a team. And I know what is expected of the Flames, but the fact that one of your veteran voices is already pushing back against that,
yep,
that's part of how you establish that we're not okay with losing mentality.
Yep.
And Blake Coleman, to be quite honest, if we sat down and started this segment and you said, tell me the most important guy in the Flames locker room in terms of creating that, we're not going to be fine with losing, I'd tell you it's Blake Coleman and Rasmus Anderson. And there's a bunch of other guys on that list, Michael Backlund and Nazem Kadri and Mackenzie Weegar and Jonathan Huberdeau. But for me, it starts with Coleman and Anderson because of the way they carry themselves, because of how obviously ticked off you can tell they are when things don't go
yeah.
their way. Like I really think those two guys are worth their weight in gold as you go through this process.
And I know that there are many who are out there, and I understand it, because if you're a Flames fan right now who really is bought in on a new direction, and they're clearly going in a new direction, they are rebuilding. They may not like to use that word, but to some extent, they are rebuilding. They're not, and Craig Conroy privately, publicly has been very adamant, no, they're not tearing it down to the studs. They're not going to burn it all to the ground, but they are going younger. They are okay with not going all in, all out for the playoffs these next few years. And so I know there are a lot of people who say, well, why not strike where they are, while the iron is hot, and trade a guy like Blake Coleman? But I'll be honest with you. If somebody comes to me, and I'm Craig Conroy, between now and the trade deadline, and they're offering something for a guy like Coleman, and Blake is still very much of the opinion that he wants to be here and wants to be a part of this solution going forward, it's not that I'm not listening, but I'm looking, if I'm going to be moving a guy like that, who is, I think, going to be one of the most important guys in kind of the touchy-feely intangible stuff going forward, it's going to have to take a lot to move him out. I really think he's that important on this team going forward. And that's not to say he's, of course, if somebody offers you a first in a, like, sure, but I'm not actively trying to trade that guy, that's for sure.
Well, and I think the rub on this especially is that, you know, we've seen in the NHL, how often do you see a guy who's signed for several more seasons at a fairly significant cap hit? When you see those guys traded, it's not for what you would consider fair value player-wise, right? Like, Blake Coleman is a very, very quality, useful, like, that's a guy that I'd pay $4.9 million in cap space to all the time. The contenders don't have $4.9 million in cap space, and if they're going to fit it in, they're not going to make you what I think is an appropriate offer for what you'd be giving up. I think Blake Coleman has much more value inside the Flames locker room than what you'd get in a trade. Someone wants to blow Craig Conroy away with an offer and prove me wrong, by all means, but I wouldn't be looking to do it.
I like that. That's well said. Pat, Wes, along with you this hour on Flames Talk, and from the Golden Arches comes the Big Arch, the biggest bite on the menu, now available at participating McDonald's restaurants. 2 quarter-pound, 100% Canadian beef patties with no artificial preservatives or flavors, sourced from Canadian ranches and farms. The Big Arch is perfectly layered with 3 slices of white processed cheese, crispy onion, pickles, lettuce, slivered onions, and a new tangy, delicious Big Arch sauce. It's more McDonald's to love. Try the Big Arch today.